Blog Talk Radio.
Attention sack artists, R&B, jazz, hip-hop and comedy, spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone@yahoo.com to be heard in over 50 states. Also, call the show at 347-205-9722. And don't forget to tell your friends to log on to blogtalkradio.com and look for the Wise Words with 1Gone show every Monday through Saturday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And don't forget to check the Sunday Gospel show from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Tell everybody about the Wise Words with 1Gone show.
Top of the clock, y'all. What's going on? This is the Wise Words with 1Gone show on Blog Talk Radio. And tonight we're talking about things that can control a family. Some things that can control a family is the TV and the internet, right? And so if we're not cautious on how we manage these things, our kids could get caught up, right? And so I'm going to play a couple of songs, let everybody get in here, man. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wise Words of 1Gone show. Like I said, we'll play one song, we'll let everybody get in here. And we're going to open the phone lines up because what's happening is our young folks are finding themselves raising themselves. So my question tonight is, who's raising these babies? Let's get to this music and we'll get right back to the topic, huh?
Living it up, oh yeah. Friday night, living it up at last.
living it up, oh yeah. Friday night, living it up, living it up, oh yeah.
Hey, it ain't Friday, it's Monday, but boy, we got a lot to live it up for. Hey, I'm going to open the phone lines right quick. I got to see who's all on so I'll know who and how to place these calls because I got some special guests on here, and I don't know none of these numbers by heart. So, with LP, you on?
Right here with you.
Coach Thurm, you on, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and Henry, Gene, for real?
Straight out their backyard.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here, man.
Okay. What about? Some numbers. I don't even know if to call your name. I know 617. Are you here?
That's me. Alonzo.
Oh, man, we going to start it off like this. Run the wheel, Alonzo. I'm going to put everybody else on freeze. Run the wheel.
Hi, my name is Alonzo. I'm 11 years old. I got a high elementary. My name is good.
So, Alonzo, man, I ain't seen you in a long time, man. And the first time I seen you, we went to a Kings game last night. How'd you think the Kings did?
They did good.
Oh, they did good? So, Alonzo, the question tonight is, who's raising the youth? Who's raising you, Alonzo?
Well, my mom, really. My mom's trying her best. Being a single mom, she's trying her best and trying to do everything she can to help. She's working two jobs right now, so yeah.
Hey, man, you happy, ain't you? Ain't that? That's good. That's good. Yeah. I like to hear that. And so how's your grades, Alonzo?
They good. I went to this new school.
Uh-huh.
I went to this new school, and I got good grades.
All right. So hold on just a minute, Alonzo, and we're going to get right into it. And so, as Alonzo said, his mom's working two jobs just to make ends meet for him and her. So I appreciate that young man coming on and being honest with it, right? The other thing is our young folks are raising themselves out here, right? Because I went to a basketball game tonight. It was John Steele against Rosa Park at Rosa Park. And, man, if I didn't hear a bunch of N-words and mother trutters and a whole bunch of that type of talk, man, out of these young kids, they didn't even care I was standing there, y'all. They didn't care I was standing there. So my thought was, who's raising these kids? If they're able to talk around me like that, I'm pretty sure they're talking around our elders and people in authority. I know they're talking the same way. And so I'm going to go to the phone line right quick and ask Coach Thurm. Coach Thurm.
Yeah.
Go ahead and introduce yourself to the world.
All right, y'all. My name is Thurman Holling. I'm 58 years old. Recently became a single parent with a 13-year-old that goes to Sam Brannan. I'm with Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. I volunteer, been doing that almost 2 years, and I love it. And it's hard when you ask that question, who's raising these kids, you know, because I often have to battle with my 13-year-old in these video games and the phone. And I was supposed to be at that game tonight at Rosa Parks with John Steele, but we had to go and look for something, and we ran out of time. But I was at John Steele the last end of the school year, and yeah, that's how the kids talk around you. And they look at you and you say, hey, I don't talk around you guys like that. Don't talk around me like that. And they look at you and go, are you all right, Coach Stern? That's the way we talk. So that's what I experienced with it.
Wow. That's big. And so let me go over here to LP and let him pull up in y'all's driveway. LP?
Yeah. You know what? That certain age bracket is raising themselves. And they're headed for destruction if they don't straighten themselves out. And that's sad for us to they don't want nothing to do with the seniors. I don't know, after a while. They love grandma, don't get me wrong. But I don't know, no concept. I mean, if you're doing good, you're doing out there and you know you're doing wrong, you started it, you need to know when to stop it. Because if you don't, you're going to hit that wall and look at an iron door. So
wow,
y'all need to listen. You know, we have a lot to tell you, because where you're going, where you might make it through, we done been there. Okay, so nobody on this planet Earth knows all. Only one person. We know who he is, and that's God Almighty. You say what you want, raise more hell, but you never let his name come out your mouth, some of you. You know? Man, I could go on with this, but they're raising themselves.
Okay, thank you for that. Let me go to the next. Let's go to Henry. Henry, you've been working with the kids over the summer and the last 2 years. You've been doing a lot with the SAC Youth Works, and I've seen a lot, and I know a lot just based on some of the things you've witnessed. Who's raising these kids, Henry?
Okay, man, look. I've been around over, I guess, about 74 seasons. And I just want to say that, you know, things aren't the way they were when I was growing up. It's all good. But at the same time, there's a lot of things to be learned from these OGs, as they're called. And it's a sad epitaph to our group that we can't teach these young folks no better than that. I mean, we got to coexist with the other groups. Now, that's a fact. And, of course, these other groups, their vocabulary is a lot different. And so I just think that if you don't learn it at home, you're being shortchanged. And then, of course, your role models, who you respect, says a lot about who you are. And so if you're not picking that up at home, then you're at a disadvantage. And, like my parents tried to explain to me that, you know, we're trying to prepare you to get out there in the world on your own, because some of the stuff you might get away with at home, if you do it out there in the street, you might get your head knocked off. And so that's the sad part about it. These parents, some of these parents, what they have to pass on is not beneficial for their youth. And then they'll complain about this and that and the other, and not willing to take the responsibility that it starts at home. And so that's where we at. A lot of times the media influence dictates, you know, how some of these young people act. And when I say young people, I'm not just referring to kids, but I'm talking about, you know, babies having babies and haven't learned that, you know, what you sow, so shall you reap. And that's a true statement.
Okay. I see we still popping around here, man. Let me see who's this. Gene For Real.
This Gene For Real from out the backyard multimedia. Listen here, there's a couple of things I think on this topic, what you're saying, Tim. First of all, it's a broad statement when you said, who are the kids being raised? Yeah, on certain, it depends what kids you're talking about. And so we're talking about the kids that look like us, the majority of them are not being raised. But the upper class, the upper middle class, are the ones up. They're being raised. It's more the ones that were affected, to me, by the cocaine trade, right? You have these kids. They're being raised. The ones that are even being raised by the ones that were affected by the cocaine trade, let's see, they wasn't raised properly, you see? And so they don't have no experience or no practice or no know-how on how to do it. All they've been doing is hooping and hollering and cussing and fighting and arguing and scandal back and forth, and then the rap backed it up, see? And so the culture of the black people has become, for the youth, not all of them, but for, I guess, the economically deprived, whichever you want to, how you want to, what category you put them in, their culture has become this. They call their sons out in public B-words and punks and all this, that, and that. I mean, it's sad, but that is the culture for them groups of people. You follow what I'm saying? And sad to say, you know, I got a different take on it. I don't know if you can fix them, because, you know, it starts at home. And because there's all kinds of different things. Like, one person might think, well, say, your parents. I mean, I know now that I cuss like a sailor, right? And my dad did. But, however, I didn't cuss like a sailor until I basically almost got grown and got away from it. I was grown. I still know my place as a child. You follow what I'm saying? Regardless of what my parents done, I know my place. I was trained on to do follow what they did. I did what he said to do. You see what I'm saying? I didn't copy what he did. I did what he said to do. Because if you didn't do that, the leather was coming out. You see? So, and there is no leather no more. You know what I'm saying? and everybody knows, everybody on this board is over 55 years old, know what that leather means. You know what I'm saying? And the ones, yes, just like the Bible says, the ones who spared that rod, them the ones that's more likely, not that they was bad, them is the one more likely got a higher percentage or higher chance of being the ones that don't act right, don't turn out right. And the ones that had that leather on them, I'll give you an example, even the ones that had the leather, they turned out not right on the other side of the fence, per se. They still had respect and honor about themselves. The ones that had that leather on them, they be taught respect. And these kids, they don't know nothing what respect is. You say something to one of them youngsters, you be ready. You better have something to pull out. You know, there's no respect. And I don't know if it can be fixed. It might take two. Honestly, it's going to take two generations. And it's going to take, somebody's going to have to take, something's going to inflict into these kids or to the parents that, okay, we can't do this no more. We can't patronize this rapping and this gang mess. We can't patronize this rap dancing and roboting and braiding hair and backsliding all day long and fighting and shooting. We can't patronize. Until they stop patronizing that rap music, ain't nothing going to change.
Unless they change
the style of the rap music. Huh?
I'll take that. Hey, y'all, you're listening to the Wise Words from One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The number's 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. Hey, we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come right back to our people because we love them, huh?
Hey, man, you got your fishing pole?
Got my fishing pole?
Yeah, man, we going fishing.
Man, I ain't going no fishing, man. I got this strap. These streets is hot.
Hey, man, you need to call Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence at 916-889-0105. Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. It's brought to you by Wise Words with One Gone Show, and We Can Work It Out In. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence is taking the guns out of our kids' hands and putting a rod and reel in them. We are located at 2251 Florin Road in South Sacramento. That's Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. Join the crew and save a kid. You know how we do.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah, we're going to have to change a couple of these old commercials. You know, I've been on this show 10 years. 10 years. November 15th, 2012, we started this thing. I was living in Gene For Real's house, me and my little sister, and we started this thing because we wanted to reach out to the community and show unity in our community. Plus, we wanted to give our people a place where they can call home. And this is y'all's home. You can call every Monday. That's when we'll be starting to come on a regular, just on Monday nights, not all through the week and every morning. I know Henry, remember, I was on twice a day, early in the morning, 9 to 11, and 8 to 10 at night. That's because it wasn't working. See, I had this as my job. But we're back live right here on Blog Talk Radio. And the question I was asking was, who's raising these youth today? And so Gene For Real laid it down in a real way. He said, it depends on what youth you're talking about now. So we're homing in on separating and dividing right here, because if you ask who's raising the Asian youth, you'll find out that their parents have tradition that them young folks got to follow. There's a few of them that hard-headed just like anybody else. They ain't following the rule. They messing up in school. They cussing at everybody and anybody. Matter of fact, a lot of them say, "What's up, my nigga?" Woo-wee, it kills me when I heard that today. I heard an agent say, "What's up, my nigga?" I said, "Ooh, man, you're around the wrong people when you say that, man." And so I'm just wondering, I really am, I'm wondering how and when do we take back our youth from destruction, because they are headed for destruction. If you ask the average parent right now, even if it's a two-parent home, if you ask them about a 10-year-old to a 24-year-old and ask, is there any problem with your child? I guarantee you they'll scratch their head and their butt at the same time, because they're trying to figure it out. Yeah, it's a lot going on with our young folks. I heard Coach say the TV, the telephone, or the games, right? One of them three will distract your young folks from even hearing what you're trying to teach them, because they're concentrating on one of them three things. Now, I'm going to go back to the phone line. I'm going to open the phone line up for everybody to talk because I want to get everybody's input at the same time. Now, we can't talk over each other. If you want to talk, we'll get you in. We'll get you in. Hey, I'm opening the phone lines. It is Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm DJ One Gone from 97.5 KDEE, Hip Hop After Dark, and we are talking to our folks. So I want to say to Alonzo, Alonzo, thank you for hanging in there, man. Thank you for changing your grades. But I want to ask you a question before I get into the adults. Alonzo.
Yes.
Alonzo. Do you listen to your mother?
Yeah. Before I didn't, I was being, disrespectful a lot. Like, I wasn't listening. I was giving her a hard time and stuff. But now I'm starting to realize, like, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I know I'm better than that. So that's so I decided to change that.
Okay, and so how old are you, Lonzo?
I'm 11. I'm going to be 12 in January.
Okay, and so that's coming from an 11-year-old. He's already know the mistakes he made. He's already said he's correcting some of them mistakes. Now, if he can stay on that path of taking acknowledgement of what he's done and taking accountability on how to change that attitude to make it easier for his mom to take care of the both of them, I think this young man has a winning chance at being great. Now, who else on here thinks that young man has dropped a real gem for all the young people to pick up and put that tool in their tool belt? Is there one? Would there be one that understood what the young man said? I guess not. Nobody said.
Coach Durham here. I'd like to commend you, man. Alonzo, you know, I've been knowing you for a little while, and I had you even, spend time with me and my son, you know. And I know you had problems with acting out and disrespecting your mom. And, you know, me and you talk and everything, and I am so glad you're turning it around, you know, from when I first met you. And then you also was around two guys that's trying to do their best, but they were kind of bad influences on you at some point. And, you know, right now they would probably – if they heard you, I would be very, very, very happy for them to say, wow, look what Alonzo's doing, because they changing too. They doing better. And you know who I'm talking about, probably Alonzo, but I don't want to say their name. But I commend you on that, man. I really, because I've seen your mom, man, with the tears in her eyes, you know. And I've seen your face, and it's like you didn't came around. You tired of hurting your mom's feelings, and that is great, man. And I have to hope the Lord just keep blessing you so you'll be a strong man one day for your mom and you. All right?
Yeah, appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate that too, Coach, because that's what it's going to take. Everybody's talking about how we need community to step up and how the village should stick together. And, you know, I've been looking at the village for a minute, and the village looks dysfunctional. So if we talking about the village need to grab our kids and help raise them, first of all, we need to get ourselves together. And so I heard a friend of mine say, if I get all the one gones in line and they understand me and they follow the correct procedure of living, if the Hawthorns do the same, and if the Hollings do the same, and if the Purnells do the same, and if the – you get what I'm saying? If we all get our house in order, if we get our house in order and everybody around us follow suit and get their house in order, it would be less disturbance. Gene, for real? Is
mm-hmm.
that you?
Oh, yeah. I'm here, but I'm not saying nothing.
Okay.
Well, you know, this Coach Thurman again. I agree with Gene when he said it's going to take another generation or two, but we have to get the word out there to these young folks and their parents that we have to do something right now. We can't wait for another president or somebody, a senator, to be voted in. We have to start, like you say. Yeah, the village don't look good no more in the neighborhoods. But we have to get the word out. And by you doing this in the healing circles that we have on Tuesday, is we trying to reach out to these young kids. But you also, what I love about the whole organization is Hooked on Fishing, we like to involve the parents in just as much as the kids. And I see, doing this for over a year now, it is hard to get the parents, you know, involved. You know, some of them, they ready to drop them kids off on Tuesday and boom, they gone. You know, and they don't want to come in there and sit and listen in. And then it's sad to say, but, you know, 90% of them is all females. There's no dad. You know? So that's where I'm at with it.
I like that. I like that. And so I'm going to have to mute somebody because we got some back talk back there. And so what I wanted to say is that you are right, both of you are right, and so I don't want to mix the conversation up, but we're going to take off from the youth, and we're going to take off to black men and how we as black men are not sticking to the script. Not all. Let me clear my throat when I say that. Not all, but most of us we have a hard time of being who we're supposed to be in our youth life, being who we're supposed to be in our family's life, being who we're supposed to be as a whole, right? And so it shows whenever, you know, we can't come together and build. And what I mean by that is that there's a lot of people that's in business that we don't even patronize. Maybe their business is not the type of services that we need. Maybe their service that they're rendering is not up to par, right? But one thing I know, and two things for sure, if their business and the service that they're not rendering is up to par, we should be, as black men, straightforward and say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to blast you out. I'm not going to tell everybody don't go there, but I'm going to tell you straight to your face that taste ain't the taste. That sip of whatever ain't the right sip. And if you just add a little, take a little away, add a little to, or come with another recipe, I think you'll do a lot better. See, that's constructive criticism. And so we have gotten away with constructive criticism, and we just come in with criticism. And so when you just come with criticism, then you're attacking a person. And then, you know, people go, oh, you trying to come for me? Oh, you better don't try to come for me. I know y'all heard that before. And then so us as men, black men, we have to step up and get back on the pedestal and put our chest out and be happy about who we are, so our young men can see that, yeah, there's hope to be the best you can be. And so a lot of our young folks, they don't care if you are doing good. If they don't know you and you haven't really reached out to touch them in a way to show them that, hey, I'm not your enemy, I'm your brother or your uncle or whoever they want to call you in their life, there's no change going to be coming, because, first of all, they are already feeling like everybody's attacking them, not because of the music they listen to, the shows they watch, or the behavior that they have. It's just that there's an attack on the young black youth anyway. It started when it was an attack on the black men in the 60s. It was an attack on the women with the crack epidemic in the 80s, 90s. And now it's the children, you know. That was the last draw. You know, we got the whole family confused, fighting, and Big Mama called these the last days. So I'm just saying to all of the listeners out there and all of the panel that's on right now is that we have to do better because we know better. And some of us are doing real good. I didn't point a finger at you. I'm just saying if we were all doing good, we wouldn't be so far behind the eight ball is what I'm saying. It's because we as a people, now watch this. We as a people are waiting on a reparation, right? And they're about to give it up. I seen the governor of California finna give, 2.4 million people, 200 and something thousand dollars. I might got the numbers wrong, but I'll pick it up and let you guys add to it. But if they were to give you Jigab, is my mic on? If they were to give you all any of that money, would you know how to spend it? Would you know what to do with it? Would you invest in yourself and your family for generational wealth? What would you do if they gave you $200,000? I know some of y'all would lose your mind. You understand me? You would lose what you call your mind. And I just want everyone, if they do give you the money, is to take care, just like I said, your inner home, you know. Take care of that. Don't splurge. Don't go get no Gucci. Gucci don't like you. Gucci don't care nothing about you. Don't you go out there and get no Bentley. Matter of fact, 200, too. That's what it costs for a Bentley. Shit. You ain't did nothing but spend the whole check in one spot, and you don't even own your house. Oops, my mic is on. So I'm going to go to the phone line and check and see what are you guys or all of you guys would do if they gave you 200 grand right now. LP, what would you do?
Well, I ain't going to lie to you. I'd have to get me a boat. I want to upgrade my truck a little bit and take me a house from there. Guess I'll be paying the mortgage and everything, you know.
Okay, I'll go for that. Okay, here we go. Gene, for real.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I would do if I had it personally for me. I got a couple of real estate projects, development projects I'm working on, and I'd add that to the kitty and it'd make my project more bigger. But to everybody else out there, to all the other people, black people that's going to get it, my advice to them would be is to get that money, go put it in a federally insured bank, don't buy no rims, don't buy no Cadillac, then they're going to run out in a week. And then don't go buy the Bruce Lee, buy a whole bunch of gold, and educate yourself on some form of business. That $200,000 is enough to get you off the ground where you can make some real money. That is enough. It's not a whole bunch of money, first of all. You know what I'm saying? But it's enough to get you. It's way more than enough to get you going in the right way and keep you going that way. But you have to educate yourself. I wouldn't spend a dime. You have to educate yourself in the industry that you're planning on going into. You don't want to learn that industry with hard knots using that money. They told me, learn from another person's mistakes. You don't make them. You watch that person make them, and then you don't do them.
Got me?
I got you. And so we're going to go to the next. Henry?
Yeah, man. that's enough of an investment to be able to, you know, create some things, to provide opportunities for other folks to get ahead. And so that's how I would look at spending that chunk of money, is coming up with a program using the nonprofit status to try and alleviate the miseries of some of our brothers and sisters.
All right. Coach.
First of all, I would try to give me and my son Theodore a house, a place to stay. Second, I would like to start a nonprofit and get with some of the brothers, the OG, because what I realize about what's going on in this country is they got all of our black men and our black young youth locked up, but they don't have no program for us to reach them. And they isolate them away from us, so therefore when they get locked up, you know, as youth, usually they go from juvenile right to the penitentiary. So you got all these black men in this country in the penal system, and they in there doing their thing, what they gotta do to survive, and here we got we wondering why everything keep going the way it is, because we're not reaching none of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow Americans, lady Americans, this is James Brown. I want to talk to you about one of our most deadly.
Hold on. Coach, you there?
Yeah, I'm still
Coach,
here.
Okay, my bad. So that's my phone. I happen to look at my phone. I'm the one ain't on. So, Coach, go ahead and finish up because I had to.
I would take that money and start a nonprofit because I want to reach these young men and women out here of the black and brown community that's in the court system and in juvenile and stuff, and try to stop them from going to prison when they get older by starting some type of where we can go and talk to them and sit down and let them heal while they're there and teach them how to heal while they're there So they come out, they won't have to keep making the same mistakes and feeling the same way. So they can become young men and women. If we can have some type of bus where the brothers can get on the bus and we go to the juveniles, we go to the penitentiary, we can get the brothers who want to change. And some of them don't even know. They ain't never had a dad in their life. They don't even know. But men who want to try to help other men, that's the way it always we should have been always. But they isolating us. They take the brothers away. They put them in jail for a little or nothing. And then there's no way for a positive brother or a brother that's trying to get talk to them and let them know that, hey, what you doing? It's just more and more of us being locked up. How, you know, we need to come up with something to a program with this government and let them know. Let us get to our people and talk to them. Let us go. Let us have some healing circles inside these penitentiaries in these juvenile halls and talk with our young men and women. Let them get that stuff off their mind of what's going on in their head. Because, you know, what I see on Tuesday night is 95% of them don't have a dad around. Well, then that means we supposed to take care of, anyways in the Bible it says that the fatherless child, the elder is supposed to take care anyways of the child that doesn't have a father in the village, you know? So we need to start stepping that up and really putting that on the forefront of our tongues and our minds and really taking a look at this and, wow, they all locked up and, you know, they don't let us get none. We can't get at them. Because they got nothing, they got all these rules and regulations, and you know who can come see them when they come see them. See, they plan us. That's cleverness. That's what they're doing. They're being very clever, and they're keeping them dumb. They put them in there with all the same type, and they just go in there, and some of them learn the ropes, and then they just act, well, we ought to go in there and start talking to them and let them get this stuff out on their chest and just let them know, hey, I've been there, you know, or I ain't been there. But brother, come on, talk to me. Little sister, come on, talk to me. Let's get it out. And then let me show you some of the skills and let me give you some of this knowledge and wisdom that I got from the Lord to help you not go down this road no more, because this is where our community has got to come together and stop, because everybody want to be, act like, you know, they got us thinking that, you know, you got to be afraid of prisoners and ex-cons. No, we don't. We got to show them love. That's what we got to do. And we got to show them how to heal. Because in the last year and a half of my life, God has shown me how to heal and how to upbuild people. I used to be just like everybody else. I could find anything wrong with you and tear you down. But Lord sent this man to me, and he told me I upbuild people, Thurman. I don't tear them down. And I'm learning that, and that's where my heart and my mind go. That money come to me, I will try to get Teddy and me a house first, but I definitely am going to invest it back into my community, you know. And that's what I'm going to do until I die, because I am a servant of God and to my people for the rest of my life. And that's what I would do.
I love it. 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 And so just want to let Coach know that I've been in the juvenile hall working with the young men for the last 3 months. One of our case managers moved to Kaiser, and I end up from supervising him to taking his caseload, and all of his caseload were probation people. And so once I got to get inside, because, you know, it takes a minute, like you said, Coach, they find everything and anything to keep you out. And so I just so happened to get my expungement taken care of so where I can go in and do what I need to do. And so since I've been going in, the people at the probation office and in the court system have asked me to come in more frequently, right? And so I am now waiting to do some things to move forward and getting a band of brothers to go with me to speak to the youth, to have healing circles, to just what you said, Coach Thurman, the same thing you said, it's already in play. It's God's timing. few people I need to meet up with. One thing I know, and two things for sure, the probation officers love the work that I do enough to put a program together. It's going to be coming out in the new year to where we'll be having the youth in there learning about what we learn in Hooked on Fishing, right? And so it's about to happen. I believe in it because I believe in me, and I believe in the vision that I have to make a change right there. Because right now, most of my caseload, they have gotten out and went right back. They have got out and not even talked to me, you know. They think they were slick enough to say, you know, you visit me, got me out of that cell. I appreciate that. But now I'm out. I'm free. I smell fresh air. And I'm going to do what I've been doing, right? And so what happens is they get caught up and get back in there, and it's my turn to smell fresh air, right? I go in there. I say, hey, man, can you smell what I got on? Oh, oops, you behind the glass. My bad. Anyway, I got to change my clothes today. What you do and what you eat? And so I get at them in a way. It depends on how I'm feeling. I get at them in a way to make them engage with the conversation I'm about to have with them, right? So I pick at them and get them riled up real good. Then I lay down the reel on them. And at the time, they be so agitated that when I can see it in their eyes, and I know how to downplay how hard I was coming just a second ago. I'll downplay that and put everything in their court and let them feel accountability, and then have a conversation with them on how are we going to stop running in and out of this juvenile hall, because what you're doing is practicing how to go in and out of that jailhouse or that penitentiary. And so practice make perfect. So if you don't stop right now, you'll be perfectly locked away for the rest of your life. And so I got a few of them that really locked in. They come to the healing circle every Tuesday. I got like five probation kids in there, and they ain't in there talking about where you're from, because I had already gotten their mind. I already done laid down some real on them. And when they come, they really come looking for some answers to their questions, right? And so we as men have to be ready and be prepared to answer some of the questions that our young folks is willing to ask, because they only ask them because, like Thurm said, some of them don't have a father, and mama's working so hard trying to keep a roof over our head and food on the table and clothes on our backs that she all she can do is yell, because some of our young men and women, young ladies, they are so distracted with the bull crap, with the BS, that they can't hear real. When a parent is saying it, and, you know, after you've screamed at them so long and you've been negative so long, whenever you bring a positive message, it doesn't even go in one ear and come out the other. It doesn't even go in because they got a shield that's already up. Oh, you finna open your mouth, mama? I ain't trying to hear that. I know what you finna say. Even if mama have a different tune to sing, they're going to say, I know what you gonna say. And then, you know, it is bad that it's like that, but that's how society has things rolling right now, right? And so I don't know when, I don't know where, and I don't know how long, because I heard maybe it takes a generation or two to balance this thing just a little bit to where it's not so much on this side. But we need to start now. And we need to be serious about what we're doing. Hey, it's Wise Words of One Gone Show, and I'm going to get right back to y'all after I get to this, because the next thing I'm going to talk about is a young man just committed suicide by taking pills. He took a whole bunch of pills trying to show a friend that he can get high, higher than him, and end up checking out, right? And it's one of I had his dad on the radio at 97.5 this week, and he talked to us about that, but he didn't downplay any of it. He said his son knew better. He just didn't do better, and that's what it is. Hey, here's James Brown. King Heron, right here on the Blog Talk Station.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow Americans, lady Americans, this is James Brown. I want to talk to you about one of our most deadly killers in the country today. I had a dream the other night, and I was sitting in my living room, dozed off to sleep, so I started dreaming. I dreamed I walked in a place, and I saw a real strange, weird object standing up talking to the people, and I found out it was heroin, that deadly drug that go in your veins. He said, I came to this country without a passport. Ever since then, I've been hunted and sought. My little white grains are nothing but waste, soft and deadly and bitter to taste. But I'm a world of power, and all know it's true. Use me once, and you'll know it too. I can make a mere schoolboy forget his books. I can make a world-famous beauty neglect her looks. I can make a good man forsake his wife, send a greedy man to prison for the rest of his life. I can make a man forsake his country and flag, make a girl sell her body for a $5 bag. Some think my adventure's a joy and a thriller, but I'll put a gun in your hand and make you a killer. In cellophane bags I found my way to heads of state, to children at play. I finance in China, ran in Japan, I'm respected in Turkey, and I'm legal in Siam. I take my addicts and make them steal, borrow, beg. Then they search for a vein in the arm or the leg. So be you Italian, Jewish, black or Mex, I can make the most virile of men forget their sex. So now my man, you must, you know, do your best to keep up your habit until your arrest. Now the police are taking you from under my wing. Do you think they dare defy me, I who am king? Now, you must lie in that county jail, where I can't get to you by visit or mail. So sworn with this comfort, wiggle and cough. 6 days of madness, and you might throw me off. Curse me in name, defy me in speech, but you pick me up right now if I were in your reach. All through your sentence, you become resolved to your fate. Fear not, young man or woman, I'll be waiting at the gate. And don't be afraid, don't run, I'll not chase. Sure my name is Helwin, and you'll be back for a taste. Behold, you're hooked, your foot is in the stirrup, and make haste, mount the steed, and ride him well, for the white horse of Helwin will ride you to hell. To hell will ride you to hell until you are dead. Dead, brother. Dead. This is a revolution of the mind. Get your mind together and get away from drugs. That's
Yeah, that's James Brown with King Heron. Now they got King Fentanyl. Hey, so I got to make a run. I'm going to ask Gene for real, since he's opening up his own podcast, to conduct this show for about 20 minutes. You think you can do that for me, Gene?
I can try.
Okay, so I'm going to leave it. So I'm going to leave the line open. The line is open. And everybody's on. All you have to do is, because I'm gonna record this to see how you do, and give you some constructive criticism. It's Wise Words with One Gone, and we got Gene for Real taking over right now. I was getting ready to talk about fentanyl. You don't have to talk about that. Come up with a topic right quick, and give me 20 minutes.
All right. All right, well, my topic is going to be, what do we do for the youth? Everybody keeps saying we got to talk to them, we do this, and so. Actually, and to do what were we going to do with them? You know what I'm saying? Let me clarify something. They're lightening up the jail. Everybody keeps saying that they're putting them in jail for little or nothing, and they're in jail. But I don't think they're putting them in enough for nothing. They doing crimes and stuff that we're talking about that takes a tribe to raise, and we got to teach our daughters not to talk like this, and all the things we're talking about these kids doing, that's what they're doing. So they're not and out in the wild and disrespecting and shooting, so they're not getting locked up for nothing. See, they're not getting up and saying that. I think that might be some of the problem. Yeah, well, I ain't gonna say problem. That might add to it when they think that you know that they're being picked on when they're doing wrong. You know what I'm saying? And they're lightening up. It seems that they're lightening up prison and jail sentences, and they're making it so you could murder and only get locked up to 25. And I'm kind of a different than a lot of the people that look like me. I think we need more jail time. And if you disagree, tell me, come up with some ideas besides just talking. Whoever wants to take over, y'all can speak in turn. But talking, everybody just talking's not going to get no hard here. Just talking, we got to have more than just talking to them. We've been talking for 300 years. Somebody want to take the floor? Henry?
Yo. Yeah, you got to lead by example, you know. Talking is part of it. But that's not the whole solution, I think. A lot of times you got to show them a better way rather than talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as the old folks say, what you do speaks so loud, I can't hear what you say. And, you know, that just means that a lot of times talk is cheap. Put your money where your mouth is. And so if you notice, a lot of the programs that get funded are social programs. Not saying that they're not needed, but at the same time, those social programs, they put food on the table? No. So we got to teach these young people some survival skills, some skills that's going to better their lot in life, you know, because a lot of times folks get tired of that survival mode. It'll wear you out. It's tiresome, the survival mode. So, you know, like they said back in the day, I don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, the fishing, the teacher man to fish, and they can eat for in life, that's what we need to do. We need to teach these young folks how to do that. When I say young folks, I mean, of course, we have to get them at an early age, but we can't leave behind those, you know, have gotten at the age of where they need something to sustain them. And the survival mode, a lot of times, you know, that's draining. And so we got to kind of put our money where our mouth is or put our efforts out there so that they can see that what we are about is going to benefit them.
Yeah. Okay, I was talking about I was talking about a few things, but I'm talking about the prison, the locking them up and letting them go and saying that, you know, giving them no time. I'm talking about the lockup breaking the laws, and so when they breaking the laws, so what do we do? What you know? Because you know the you know our people always oh they picking on us, they picking on us on us, but no, we. Then whoever you, we call them to come in and see to help us with ours. See,
yeah.
We call them to come. See, we call they call them to come. So I'm just saying, what do we do with the hard heads?
Well, you kind of have to go to the root. Okay, treating the symptoms is one thing. But getting to the root of the situation is another thing. And so that's what I was referring to about, you know, coming up with
ways that folks can do more than just survive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. one way of doing that is to show them, you know, survival is there's more to life than just survival. And so that, I think, would deter them from ending up in that school-to-prison pipeline.
Okay.
So
okay.
we can't save them all, but if we can save one or two, you know, it might have a domino effect. Because a
right,
lot of times
right.
these young people will mimic their peers, you know. And so if we can create as many leaders as we can, then it might have a domino effect because peer-to-peer pressure can be deep.
Anybody else want to comment?
That prison industrial complex is mean, but it's put there because of the greed, mind you, of those in power. Okay.
What the prison is put there?
The prison industrial complex, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The industrial, where they do work, where they do work and stuff. That's the reason where they make them do work.
Well,
or are you just talking
I'm
about
just,
the prison?
Yeah, the prisons themselves, if you build them, you got to figure out a way to get them filled up. And so
right,
who
right.
better to do that than to on the backs of those less fortunate or uneducated? And I'm just saying, there's a reason.
I'm lost, but I don't know what to do with somebody that keeps breaking into somebody's house and taking their stuff, and a person picked up a gun and went and shot somebody because he lives in another neighborhood. Still,
so why?
I mean, so.
Why are they repeat offenders? Why?
You can't put your thumb all the way on it. There's more than about 10,000 different reasons it could be. There's no way to put one word on it. But more than likely, his upbringing had some kind of environment had something to do with it. More than likely,
there you go. The upbringing. Root. Now you're getting to the root. Okay, you're getting to the root. Causes.
Yeah, I understand that. That's why I said it's going to take two generations. I understand what the root is, but while you're getting to the root, you still got the rest of the tree. So and limbs and leaves. So I'm talking about the what is the sense? God, like you said, you can't reach them all. Some of them are going to be hard head no matter what. And so I'm saying, what do we? Because nobody never makes the distinction when they're talking about they're locking them up. Everybody makes it seem like the government is just going picking up blacks and locking them up for nothing. And I beg to differ. They're breaking the law, and they're committing crimes against each other.
Well, what I think is we need to advocate and put back the vocation. Starting back in middle school, metal shop, carpentry, home ec, painting and decorating. We need to put some hands-on stuff in it and start putting some knowledge in these kids' heads instead of them going to school. Now the way school is, my son is in the seventh grade, and he go to school, and some of his classrooms, they don't even issue him a book. Everything is on a computer screen now. He doesn't even have no penmanship, but everything is tight. And everything I try to teach him hands-on, I'm out raking the yard last week, and I'm trying to teach him, you know, some physical work, some physical knowledge on how to take care of your home and your outside. And the minds are so technology, I feel that it's going to take me some time, but I'm not going to give up. But I think that's one of the things we got to do is, you know, we done a lot of talking, enough talking. Now we got to come up with some programs where we actually have to start teaching these young people some actual skills instead of sitting in the house or sitting in the neighborhood, sitting around not doing nothing, watching everybody else drive a sweet streeper down the street to clean your street or another nationality going around your neighborhood whose yards look nice, and they're the ones cutting the grass and getting paid for it. Why can't we teach these young men and women how to run a lawnmower, how to buy a lawnmower, what to do with a lawnmower? Teach them how to do that. And, you know, start out with basic stuff, and then, you know, they got all of these vocation places for kids to go when they get out of high school, but they got to apply for it, and then they get a loan for it, and that puts them in debt. And then they got to go and work for a job or work for somebody that's treating them bad for years just because they got to pay that loan back. We got to figure out how to start teaching these kids. We got to start giving them some hands-on, like we do with Hooked on Fishing. We teach them. We start out basic. Teach them how to cast that pole. Teach them how to set that hook. We got to teach these kids how to start out with some type of skill. See, they took everything out of our school system for a purpose. When they took all of that out, they increased the population in prison. Yes, them kids are out there doing some very, very, very serious crimes, and they're doing it to in our own neighborhoods. They deserve to be locked up. But while they're there, we got to give them something. It's going to take some time. We got to work on them and give them something to do, you know. You go in our neighborhoods, you could count the houses if you had a chance, but you would never get down one street that need to be repainted. Need some repairs on it, you know? They need a new fence put up around their home. They can't afford it, but we can teach that. We have to find a way to start implementing these type of programs to start in our neighborhood and say, you know what I'm trying to say? You know, the talking is over. We got to start giving them things they can do and learn and say, wow, I didn't even know that. You know, I didn't know that's how that happened. You know, how they see new streets being put down. They pave new streets in your neighborhood. They don't think twice about they can have a job doing that, you know, because they took it out of the schools, and then we don't have people from our neighborhoods that work in that department or work for the city because they managed to get a lot of us out of that in the way they do it. Well, we got to start speaking up and wake up and say, hey, we want our youth to learn how to do that, you know? We need y'all. We want to stop all this crime and stop all this stuff, and you let us get a chance to work with. Let some of our youth in high school come and work the summer with the city of Sacramento or the county, you know, or some of these construction companies, they're getting all of these projects, and they're building all of these apartment complexes around here. Why can't some of our kids get with some of these construction companies and learn all of this stuff, you know, instead of, oh, they got to be out of school and they got to be in a apprenticeship or they got to get a loan and go to the auto tech or electrical school, HVAC, and then they got that bill over them and they trying to live and trying to do right, but, you know, they got to pay that loan back the whole time. And that's what I'm thinking is we got to put into action. They got to, you know, if you give them something to do, you know, they ain't got time to be looking at that phone on TikTok. You know, they ain't got time to be texting each other about ops. You know, you got to give them some, because a lot of these young people, you know, it's like you say, you're going to always have a hard head. Trust me. I know that, but if we can give them something, you know, besides talking, but when we say we're going to do something for them and we give them something, like we've been trying to do, like, you know, is get them in there and just and say, okay, this is how you do this, you know. There's all kind of things out there. It's just like I know how to put a fish tank together. If you want a basic fish tank in your house, I know how to do that. Well, there's a lot of kids that ain't never seen that before. They don't know nothing about that. You know, they go to the store. They don't even go to the store where there's you can buy fish and aquarium to make your house look better and it relaxes you and all that. Well, this skill that I got, I know I can, hey, I can teach them these things. I can grow vegetables. I know how to plant. I know how to grow vegetables. I know how to just even giving them what I have my problem with my kids, because I got my little boy doing his chores now. I'm in his life every Saturday. Is my thing is we got to start telling them how to keep their rooms clean and helping their moms out. That's one thing we got to really start with is teaching these kids how to be clean and their hygiene, you know, because some of them ain't getting it at all, you know.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Thurman, let's see if we get somebody else who wants to. You made a lot of good points there. A lot of good points. Does anybody else want to comment on that topic?
Okay.
Well, if not, what I wanted to bring up is sacrifice. See, I think these kids need to be taught sacrifice, one of the main things, because basically everything I hear everybody is talking about is give, right? They're going to have two jobs. That's going to be stressful. They're going to have a loan. Everybody else has that too. See? The weak don't win. Listen, pay close attention to what Deion Sanders has done at the HBC, whatever you call that. Now he didn't went to Colorado. See? Pay close attention exactly how each step went forward. See? Sacrifice. See? These kids got to be taught sacrifice. The one who sacrificed it, that's who wins the enduring. Like they say, not the swift, but the swift wins sometimes. But the enduring, they sacrifice, man. And everything, you don't get no golden spoon or nothing. You know, the one who it's been known who works hard is the one who wins. See? That's kind of like one of my kind of angles on the sacrifice. You know, now I guess it might don't work for everybody. I guess I tend to believe, I think sacrifice will work for everybody and anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So anybody else can make a comment on that topic. I don't know exactly who's all the tuned in.
Well, there are some things that these young people need to learn and take to heart. And if you haven't figured out a way of how to get to them, then it's going to be hard. Then it's going to take generations of effort to change the flow. And so my thing is, what was good enough, what was taught to me early on, I try and pass it on because it worked for me. It helped me to make my way in this world. And so I try and pass that sort of thing along to others who are ready to listen. And so a lot of these prisons are full of folks who some didn't know no better. Some got caught up. And some were supposed to be there. When I say supposed to be there, meaning that the choices that they made didn't work out for them. Okay. And so, you know, we need to come to an understanding of what it's going to take for us to get past this survival mode. And if we can't work together to figure this out, then it's going to be deja vu over and over and over again, you know, because some of the things or the challenges that I faced growing up back in the early 60s are the same challenges today. But then when you look at the obstacles that I faced back then are the same obstacles today. You know, the power structure is still the same. Okay. And so the means of survival, they're about the same. You know, progress, we can point to some things as being progressive, but then others, you know, have stayed the same. And so it's going to take a concerted effort. I know a lot of folks are doing good things, but not enough of us. Okay. And so we got to try and involve more and more folks in this process. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Man, a lot of valuable points, Mr. Henry. Okay. So Mr. Henry, would you say that hard work and sacrifice pays off? Do you believe in that?
It definitely does. It definitely does.
Okay.
It definitely does. Hard.
My bad, Henry. My bad. I'm back. And so I was trying to clear me in there, and so I hung up Alonzo. My bad. And so here it is. I appreciate that. I listened the whole time to see how y'all would react to a different voice in the questioning, right? And so I heard Coach talk about show the kids how to do this, how to do that. And I think pretty much a lot of us who's awoke on what's going on in America with our people, we're trying our best to give these young folks an outlet. It's just not enough of us. And then it has to start at the home. It cannot start once your baby then decided he want to do wrong. Now we need to fix him. Because Frederick Douglass said it best. It's better to prepare him now and get him ready for the future than to wait for the future when he's broken and try to repair it. I said it the way I wanted to say it, but you knew what I said. Hey, it's the Wise Words of One Gone Show. We're going to take a minute, a pause for the call.
I want all my people. And some people don't want all our people. And that's the problem with our people. We don't want everybody to be on the same playing field. Some of us want us to see each other fail, drop out, sit down. But we have to be ready and willing to take it to the next level. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 515-605-9861. 515-605-9861. I had a caller that called in, didn't want to say anything. And she said, about the point that you were making, who's raising the kids, I think the school should raise them. And I almost hung up in her face. I ain't going to lie. Because I said, you want the school to raise them? And so with that, I asked the question, why? And what did I do that for? You think the answer she gave me was dumb. The second one was even dumber. She said, because they spend more time at the school than they do with me. Yo, God dog it. Ooh, Jesus. My God. Hey, what do you think about that, Coach?
They spend more time at school than they do with me. That means you ain't trying to spend no time with your kids then.
Come on.
I totally disagree with the schools raising the children and doing all that. She been misled by the spirit of this world and this nation, you know. You're exactly right. You know, here's a woman with kids and thinking the schools should raise them. Then it goes to the question, the statement you just made. There's some people that don't want to see us do no better. It starts in the family, you know. Some parents don't want their kids to do better than them, and that's crazy, you know. How are you going to want some kids, the school to raise your kids? You got to be, that means she ain't probably involved in none of what they do. She let the school do everything, which in turn is, as they get older, they get in high school, they're going to drop out because they're going to feel they know enough. The parent she ain't involved with them, you know. That right there was just eat. Oh, that eats me up right there. I can't, but then you got to look at it and say, well, okay, how far did she go? Did she graduate from high school? Did she go to college, or what did she do after high school, you know? Or was she having them babies while she was in high school, you know? Because evidently, you got to pray for her, and you got to look at it and say, you know, she don't have no parenting skills. But we have to talk to that young lady and build her up and help her learn how to engage with her kids more and then build her up and say, hey, no, wait a minute. You know, do you know what they being taught at school? You know, and you can't knock it down, but we do got to find out, what does she know about what they learn in that school? So what I hear is she might not be engaged with her kids much at all. That's what I hear.
I like that. Hey, Henry? Henry? Okay, let's go to LP. Okay, I was asking the question, what do you think about that statement?
I stepped out on it. What did we say? What we're speaking on?
One of the callers called in and said they wanted to remain anonymous, but they wanted to answer that. The question that was asked, and that was the earlier question of who's raising our youth. And she said that she think the school should raise them. And so I almost hung up in her face, but then I had to ask the question why before I do that, right? And she said
because they spend more time over there than I do with them. And so I was asking Henry, what did he think? But since you're on the line, what do you think about that, LB?
It starts at home. It has to come from that environment.
Yeah, the school.
So that's where you lay your head, they close, house, and feed you. So, but they don't want to abide. You know
what? I can get up in the camp.
Wait, my phone acting up. Okay, go ahead. Say something, Tim. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Henry.
Yeah.
School didn't have no kids.
Okay, now I can hear you. LP, what did you say?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I mean, he's right about that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That would be a hard row to hoe to do. It's a handful of will. And it's four handfuls that I can do this, you know. I'm not knocking either side, but it is what it is. You got to catch them while they're young or before they get too wild, you know. Like your classes, man. You do good. You really do. I hear the whole lot. A whole lot. I give you your flowers right here and right now, man. You're good. You really save a young youth that way. We all appreciate it.
We appreciate everybody that's doing the work. Hey, Gene, for real.
Yeah.
What you think about it?
What is
it, Gil? So, I had a young lady that said, I wanted to answer the question that you posed to the listeners earlier. And I said, okay. Well, what is it? She said, you was asking who's raising the youth. And I said, yeah, I said that. She said, well, I think that the school should raise them. And so, like I said to everybody, I almost wanted to hang up the phone, but I had to ask why. And she said, that the kids spend more time at school than they do with her, so the school should raise them. Now, what do you think about that?
Like you said, that's almost enough to make you barf. No. On the real though, she's not in tune, and she might be one of those mothers that has kids, and she's a dame or a dam, but she's not a mother. It might be because she don't know how, or it might be that she chooses not to be one, to take the steps to be one. You know, you don't know until you really, you know, get know her personal. But that's terrible. The school has a history of how I want to say it. You picked the right choice of words, but the school, certain school districts throughout America have a history of racial policies, unwritten racial policies, as you want to say, this, that, and the other. I remember Elk Grove School District, some things that happened there. Hey, I remember that. Shoot, I was in the EH class with two other fellas that I know, right? And all three of us, you know, we're not the sharpest nail in the bunch, but we're pretty sharp, and there's no way that we should have been in there with the other white boys is one walking around around the school with a string, biting on string and carrying on and picking up worms and trying to catch birds in school, talking to themselves. And they had three, according to IQ test, damn near genius level, three blacks in the retard class, on the small bus class. You know, I don't know if you remember. You remember the McGee family, Marcus and Jeff McGee and them from Valley, Tim?
Yeah.
Okay, well, their mother told me like this. She passed away now. She told me, she goes, because we were talking about what happened to me at the Elk Grove School, so she goes, well, Linebach tried that with us. They wanted to suspend hold Marcus back and all she goes, I almost went for it, but I waited for Thomas to get home, and I told Thomas, and we made an appointment, and Thomas took off work. We made an appointment, and we went up there because we knew something was wrong, because out of our 8 children, Marcus was our smartest one. And went on, went to UCLA and got a journalism degree and everything. All them got degrees, all the McGees, you know what I'm saying? But he was the sharpest one, and the Elgo School District wanted to put him in the retard class. See? But their parents didn't go for it. So he didn't end up in there, and he ended up at UCLA. See? And he didn't self-publish probably around about 24 books now. Yep, old Mark McGee. Yeah, but that's terrible. One gone. And I reiterate on what Henry said. It start whoever the gentleman one says that it starts at the home, and I believe in prevention. Like he said, it's almost impossible to reach to get to one of them ones that the street and got to him already. You might get some here and there, but it's we can't give up. But if I was doling out the time, I'd put more in the time of preventing some from getting like that. In a whole bunch of, if I had, I would put more time into preventing them getting like that than than a whole bunch of time into fixing one that's already fixed that way. That's just me, I definitely believe in prevention, But that girl, she probably had them kids when she was young, and didn't know how to be a mother, and her mother probably had her young and didn't know how to be a mother. And then two, young, we got to stop making excuses. Young is not no excuse to not to be a mother. You know you have to take care of this baby. You know the stuff that you went through. You can be 15. You know you had to go to school. You knew when your mom and dad cursed you and it hurt your feelings and that you wish they didn't do it. So then you don't do it. So there's choices that these individuals have to make too. We can't make it be all just the parents. They got to make choices too. I don't want to be like that. I could have been like my dad. No, I'm playing. All right, that's about it for me.
It's Coach Stern. It goes back to what you said earlier, Jay. We got to teach our people how to make personal sacrifices, right? If that mom would understand any understanding information about life, see, what she did was, I don't know the mother, but a lot of my boys did growing up, they sacrificed their homework, their chores, their lives to go and lay down with these women, these girls, and they had these babies young. But they don't understand they sacrificed their body to have that pleasure for that moment. But then when the baby comes, they ain't got no time to sacrifice for that child. They're missing a spark there somewhere. We have to start teaching them that, When you give you young and you giving your body up to a young woman or a young man, you making a sacrifice of your time for that pleasure that you're going to receive or give. And you got to understand if a child comes out of that, you're going to have to sacrifice everything the rest of your life until you get that child grown. But it don't matter if they're grown. You're still going to be there. You got to be there for that child always, no matter what. So we got to find a way to tell them how they have to start sacrificing, but in a good way that's good for themselves and their family and our neighborhoods. If we can get that through, I think we can start getting some of this stuff, the ball rolling.
I agree. And so
this Saturday we have a listening session. I'd like for all y'all to come to be a part of the listening session. We're going to be talking about kids and drugs. We're going to talk about single moms struggling. We're going to talk about expungement, because right after the listening session is a expungement clinic for those that need to be expunged. That'll be happening at 4625 44th Street at the Fruit Ridge Collaborative Center, starting at 2:00. The expungement will go until about 5:00. Hopefully we'll get a lot of people in and out, getting started on bettering their future, because a lot of our people have been declined in promotions, better opportunities because of the fact that they have a felony and it's holding them back. Hey, I want to ask you all to give your final words before we go. We have about 24 minutes, and I got some young listeners. They want to hear some music, but they ain't going to hear what they want to hear. I got a little Christmas music. I got some blues. I got some music that'll make you smile. Hey, so I'll start with you, Coach. Give me some final words.
My final words is we trust in the Lord the Most High. Look towards him in the Christ and really search your soul and your heart and want to do the right thing. And really look at yourself for the youth out there and for the adults out there that we really do want to help our people out and do the best for our communities. And it's going to take us to sacrifice. It's going to take us to get up. It's going to take us to learn, you know, how to keep ourselves clean and keep our homes clean and help our moms out, you know, and everything. We got to be real and keep it 100, everyone. And we got to learn not to tear each other down, but to pick each other up. And we got to get that poison out of the black community that, oh, I don't want you to do better than me. I'm better than you, so I don't want you to do no better than me. We got to get that poison out of our blood, period. We really do, because we all should want each other to do well. And look how they got us all scattered about, you know. And I love y'all people, and I'm going to always be here. That's from Coach Stern. Hooked on Fishing is where you find me. And if you need me, just let me know. I'll be there to volunteer help with anything you need. All right.
Sounds good. Peace. LP.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Hey, lovely talk. We got our work cut out for us. And we're going to have bumps with it, but anything's possible. Teach one, reach one, and they'll go out forward and teach another. But it's a hard road to hoe. So, appreciate the show, the time, the energy, and the listeners.
Right on, right on, right on. Lonzo.
Yep.
Give us some kind words for the listeners.
Never give up. Stay positive. Always be respectful. Be yourself, be a leader. Yeah, that's it.
That's enough, because boy, you said a lot when you said that. Gene, for real.
Well, everybody had a nice viewpoint and nice statements and everything tonight, but the most thing that I'm most proud of and stick my chest out to tonight on is the generousness in the heart of Mr. Henry and Mr. Thurman, that they would take their $200,000 invested back in the community. Because you see, I mentioned doing my project. Because see, I look at it, my project, I can help. See, I'm more realistic. I want to help, but I'm going to help myself too. I mean, I ain't going to say more realistic, but I just keep it in the clear. I want to help, I'm going to help myself. I'm going to help myself too. So, with that being said, the youth world don't got no go-karts yet. All right, Gene, for real, signed off.
I'm gonna sing it just for you.
was the night before Christmas, and all through the
Hold it now, wait, hold it. That's played out. Hit it!
You give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, knock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap about to happen like a knee. You been slapping or I told you been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red suit of two with a friendly attitude and a slave full of goodies for the people on the block. Got a long white beard, maybe look kinda weird, and if you ever see him, he can give you quite a shock. Now people, let me tell you about last year when the dude came flying over here. Well, the hawk was out, snow was on the ground. Folks stayed in, 240 down. The beat was thumping on the box, and I was dancing in my socks. And the drummer played at a solid pace, and the taste of the bass was in my face. And the guitar player laid down the heavy layer of the funky chunky rhythm of the disco beat. And the guy with the 88 started to participate, and I could sure appreciate it sound so sweet. We were all in the mood, so we had a little food and a joke and a smoke and a little bit of wine. When I thought I heard a hoop on the top of the roof, couldn't see it wasn't me. I was feeling super fine, so I went to the attic where I thought I heard the static on the chance that the fans put the body breaking in. Put the noise on the top with the reindeer top, just a trick, say kick, and I let the sucker in. Holy moly, you got a lot of wishes on your chinny chin chin. He allowed, he was proud of the hairy little crowd on the point of the door where the skin should have been. Get fooled for a fool, going out every year for a day on the plane when it's going slow. Through the fear, may be weird, but I'll never have a cheer, cause it's warm in the storm when it's in below. I said, yo, God, it's cold tonight, but can you stop for a drop before you go? He said, why not? If the music hot and our chance of dance beneath the mistletoe. So he went downstairs and forgot his scares, and he rocked his spot and danced like a pro. And every young girl tried to rock his world, but he booked the yogi yogi till he had to go. And before he went, this fine old gent bought a gift with a tip to his big red bag. In the top or the bottom, he reached in and got a toy for the boys for the girl's glad rag. And a grown-up got some presents too, a new TV and a stereo. A new DeVille by the blue the sky, the best that money couldn't buy. Cause money could never ever buy the feeling, the one that comes from not concealing the way you feel about your friends. And this is how the story ends. The dude in red back at the pole up north where everything is cold. But if he were right here tonight, he'd say Merry Christmas and to all a good night. I see that it's not clear, but you good buddies to clean out your ears. Listen very close while I pop more game, cause my name in the Hall of Fame. The K-U-R, the T-I-S, the first is the best, I must confess. The B-L-O and the W, I make you wanna catch the Boogaloo crew. Now if your name is Annie, get up off your fanny. If your name is Todd, get off your backside. If your name is Steve, you don't need a seat, cause I'm Curtis Blow and I'm on the go. I'm rocking through the rooms in stereo. Your hands in the air and rave on like you just don't care. If you're ready like Freddy to rock, we'll steady. Somebody say, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Our young ladies, all the ladies in the house say, ow. And you don't stop. Come on, come on, come on. Let me see you rock. I get down. Stop messing around when Curtis Blow is in your town. I'm Curtis Blow on the microphone. A place called Harlem was my home. I was rocking one day. It started to shake. It sounds to me I like a earthquake. I packed my bag, I said goodbye, I kissed my woman and I started to fly. I came to Earth by a meteorite to rock you all. On the mic, so just kick off your shoes, let your fingers pop. The curtain flows, it's about ready to rock. Now the people in the back, if you're not the wax, say. The people in the front, if you want to bump, say. The people in the middle, if you want to wiggle, say. And the people on the side, if you want to slide, say. Not a preacher or a teacher or an electrician, a fighter or a writer or a politician, the man with the key to your ignition. Curtis Moe is competition, young ladies. Chuck the house, that's young ladies. Chuck the house. Now just throw your hands in the air and wave it like it just don't care. If y'all really ready to rock the house this morning, somebody say, oh yeah.
I got to get up out of here, man. I want to thank y'all for riding with me, man. To those that didn't want to talk, thank you for listening throughout the show. I didn't put you on Front Street because I want you to come back. Hey, I'll talk to you most sooner than later or whenever's clever. Peace, y'all.